It's time for Hartley's CAT Scan, a weekly podcast featuring the who's who of your Prince George Cougars.
And welcome to CAT Scan, a podcast about the Prince George Cougars. Mark Lamb is the head coach and general manager of the PG Cougars. But Mark, let's start with this. Does it sound better if I say Mark Lamb, head coach and general manager of the BC Division champion PG Cougars?
It does sound better if that's what we're looking at, for sure. But no, it's just I'm still the GM and coach of the Cougars.
Maybe Western Conference champions. I mean, that's obviously the next goal. I know Everett is technically in the race, but I think everybody thinks, because they don't have a lot of games left, it's going to come down to you and Portland. And obviously that's the way you are looking at it. And in your mind, how important is it to be number one in the Western Conference? You already know you're no worse than the number two seed.
Well, it's home ice, you know, and I've said this lots, and I'll say it again, that if you're doing the right things, you know, the standings take care of itself, and that's what we want to do. We want to be playing good hockey going into the playoffs. Obviously, it's a lot different this year. We've been, we've solidified a lot of, things this year. You know, going into the playoffs and in previous years, you know, you want to make it. You don't want to talk about it a lot, you know, because you haven't clinched yet. But this year is a lot different. We're a lot more mature, and we have a real good vision of what we want to do and where we want to go. And that starts with, you know, just doing things right. And that's cliche, doing, you know, taking it one day at a time and trying to get better. But that's what we've been doing since day one, and it started a few years ago.
Winning percentage of over 700, you have a realistic chance of having the most points ever for any PG Cougar team. That was 96, set in 16-17, and that team played four more games. Is that a significant milestone you'll be chasing?
It's the first I heard about it, and yeah, like I said, we just focus on things. Those are great things, and we have a lot of good things going on with our team and milestones and scoring records and all that. But it all starts way before that. And when you lose track of where you want to go and start, you know, worrying about those things or looking at those things and feeling really good about yourselves, you're going to lose focus. And we don't want to do that.
Yet you want individuals to set records, because that's going to help the team. So let's start with Zach Funk, the most goals ever by a PG Cougar in one season. That is significant.
Yeah, and it's a real feather for Funk, but there's a lot that goes into that. And, you know, he'd probably be the first. You're playing with good players. You're in a good situation. You're on a good team. You know, that's what happens when the team does good, is you have all these individual success stories, and, you know, we love it, and that's all part of it. But it's all about the team. And like I said, this process, the way we talk, the way we act, it's not just happening because we're good this year. It's a process. It's taken a long time.
Could you have imagined when you made that trade with Calgary in January of last year that this was a realistic possibility?
Well, you when you're trading for players, you think they're good players and they think they can help you in different areas. How much success they can have, you never really know. And you don't know if they really buy in. They can go both ways too. It can go the other way. But, you know, when you look at Funk, and you can go back, you look at Wheatcroft, they get compared to a lot now, but they're total different players, but they still have the same attitude, and they're doing the right things for that success.
This year you add Vallas, you add Pauls. Your strength has been in a lot of your deals, and I know you like to downplay things. I understand that. You know, when you hit 350 career wins, you weren't really even aware of that. But you have to be looking at that trade market, and even though this team is built through the draft, it's been those trades that I think have put you over the top.
Yeah, they do. The draft is one thing. We've really, we've changed a lot of things in the draft. We've really drafted well, and the trades are pieces. You know, you're trying to put your team together with the draft, but trades are pieces that you're trying to fit into the team that you've already had. And that's what we've done, and we've been, I don't want to say lucky, but we've traded for some good players.
And it's really interesting that on one team, you would have player of the year candidates in obviously Funk and Height. Height was to get to 100 points before anybody else. Funk right behind him, Fergus's as well, as they battle there for the scoring lead. So you've got, the two players there in Funk and Height that can easily be a nomination for WHL Player of the Year, but only one can be. And then for Rookie of the Year, I don't know how you're going to choose between Parizak, who's in the top 10 of scoring, and battling McKenna for the rookie scoring lead, and Ravensbergen. So,
yeah.
I know for the team awards you may have to look at dual, but only one can be nominated to go represent the conference and the WHL, conference.
Yeah, good for us. Good for our team. That's incredible. We got some good young players, and those are huge awards. Like that player of the year, I look at the same way you do. We got some deserving guys with the stats, and we think we have some other guys there too. You look how good Becker's played, and you look how good Parisak played, and Height, that speaks for itself. We got an injury in Cohen Zimmer that is that type of player, and look at Hudson Thornton at the back end and our goaltending, and I can go on and on and on, and that's where our depth is right now. But those player of the year and those guys are in the conversation.
Yeah, for sure. Any further update on Zimmer? The latest we heard is he should be available for playoffs, maybe the last two games of the regular season. Do you have any further word that you can give us on Zimmer?
Yeah, he's going down to L.A. this week. They'll do an exam on him. He's got a brace on. They'll give us the update. But, everything's been on schedule. Everything's doing good. He's working out. He's pain-free. He's... Zeems, he wants to get back in there and play, but you just follow the doctor's orders, and we'll be happy when he comes back, that's for sure.
So that is still on plan for the first round of the playoffs, correct?
Yeah, everything's on plan.
So you've got this great power play, and you've got your regular five guys with Funk and Height, and you've obviously got Thornton on there, and you got Parizak, and you got Becker. But one has to come off when Zimmer gets back. I mean, isn't that a great problem to have?
Yeah, we got two good power plays. We can't get the other one out there enough sometimes too. That's a great and those things always work themselves out. You got to get in. It's a feel thing, and which group is doing better and which players are doing better. But that's the chemistry part that all coaches and all teams work through. But it's a pretty good option, boy.
I think on just about every other team, maybe Portland the exception, but I can't. Maybe Saskatoon, but I think just about every other team in the WHL, Vallas is on the first power play unit. But as good as he is, there's just no room.
Yeah, he's in there just isn't. And that's the good news. And we talk like that, and it doesn't mean that you can't be there. And when you look at a kid like Vallas, he is a real package of a player, and he's totally weighted to the power play, and he should be on the power play, but he's a real team player, and he's been a real huge part of our team, and he can play a lot of different he can play a lot of different ways. I think there's just so much more upside on him also.
So do you have to sit down and talk to him and say, you really should be on the first power play, hang in there, you're going to be a big part of the second power play? Do you have to have a special talk with him compared to the other second power play unit guys, because he's one guy that really should be on the first, but it just comes down to numbers?
Well, I don't talk like that, but you know, he's a big part of it. He's a big part of the team. And, you know, the guys are, you know, guys, the guys can see it too. You know, it's not too hard to see, but you always got to be ready to jump in there when you get your opportunity.
Mm-hmm. We always talk about goaltending. Fans are always going to talk about goaltending. I imagine as coaches, that's all you're doing because of the situation. And I want to point out something before we talk about Ravensburger and Young and everything like that. But here's what I liked about the victory against Kelowna. Obviously, it was not Ravensburger's best game. He allowed 5 goals. Having said that, when I look at a goaltender and maybe they're having an off game, when you really needed the save, he came through with big-time saves in overtime. He came through big-time saves in the shootout. And I imagine that's what you're looking for. Yeah, it's great when he's getting those 6 shutouts in 13 games and all of that. There's no way anybody could keep up that pace. You're going to have off games. You're going to have games where you're doing okay, but you really need the save. I imagine that's what you were looking for. Hey, Josh, it's 5-5. We need a save. He gave it to you.
Yeah, he does it all the time. He's a gamer and he's a winner. You know, like he wins games, and you're absolutely right. It doesn't need, you know, those shutouts and, you know, the way he was playing, the way our team was playing, and he'd get in there and do that. That's not realistic. But goaltender's job, no different than a forward's, is you got to make a big play at the right time. You got to make the right play at the right time, and nothing's ever perfect. And, you know, things go against you, but he's done it many times this year. Is he, you know, he finds ways to make the team win, and that's, you look at his record, that's what it is.
Yeah, 22-4, and maybe a shootout loss in there, but I mean, it's incredible. And Ty Young plays well when he's got a turn, but it does seem the last majority of game starts are going to Ravensburger, which would indicate to somebody watching, you're leaning that way, and I know the decision hasn't been made, but you're leaning that way come the playoffs.
Well, you lead the way that they show you, you know, and that's what's happened. It's not, like I said, we talk about our goaltenders. It's the strength of our team. You look at the, you know, the game that Ty Young played in Kamloops. He was outstanding, right? Yeah. We know that we have that. We know we have that with Ravensburger, and it's such a great spot for us to be in. They both want the net. They're both competitive. They both should want it. The team knows both those guys can, we can win with them. It's a great situation. But when you look at, you know, when you look at the stats and you look at everything else, no, we haven't made a decision. We go game by game. Is it leaning towards it? Well, it's kind of looking like that when you put everything together and you want to look at the stats and everything. But Ravensburger's been unbelievable, and there's no denying that.
Yeah, and it's interesting, entering the Spokane games, each has played in 32 games. Now, that's not 32 starts, because each has come in 3 times in relief. But over the long haul, it's interesting that it works out that way, even though Ravensburger is sort of getting the majority of the net the last little bit. And it almost seems that whether Ravensburger is a star or not a star, the team seems to win when he's in the net, and there's no substitution, I guess, for that.
No, and that speaks for itself. It's real.
Yeah. Okay, so that sort of takes care of the goaltending situation. I'm going to ask, I know this may seem like an odd question, but because the schedule has got lighter, and what I mean lighter, some of the opponents, you know, are at the bottom of the standings, whether it's Seattle, Kamloops, whatever. And I know they've got good teams or good players and all that. Is there a little bit of concern as you look at what's coming up for the final month before playoffs and you take a look at your February-March schedule, which is not as strong a schedule as it was in January-December? Does it concern you at all that the schedule is not the toughest opponents to maybe gear you up for playoffs as much as you would like?
There's always concerns, right? Yeah. There's concerns if you're playing the, you know, the best teams. There's concerns if you're playing the mediocre teams. There's concerns all the time. So you just deal with it. You deal with it and you get your team ready and you act the same, you walk the same, you don't do anything different, and you got to push and you got to learn from everything that you do, every shift and every game. It's all a learning experience. And, you know, that's what people talk about all the time. Well, they might not be ready. The teams aren't. Well, they should win that game because that team. That's not how it works at all. Like, any team can beat you if you don't do the right things and if you don't prepare the right way. And a lot of these teams are winning organizations that went through they know how to win. And, you know, that's concerning. So there's never a time when you're coaching that the schedule or the opponent or anything is not concerning.
And then you look at a team like Vancouver. They're not as strong on paper as Portland, yourself, or Everett, but Myhrvold has been giving them outstanding goaltending. They went on a 8-1-1 streak, mainly because of him. When they did lose a game, it was in Portland that they got walloped when he wasn't in goal, the day before Myhrvold was in goal when they beat Portland. So as a coach, you're always talking about the other team, knowing if they've got a strong goaltender, that even creates much more of a challenge.
Yeah, all the teams have different pieces that, like I said, that can beat you. And that's not the only piece. Vancouver is a much improved team. They got a lot older at the deadline. They put some players in there with some experience. The lines that they can put out there now have a lot more chemistry with experience, and it's right through their whole lineup. And then everybody knows if you can, you know, a goaltender can win the game by himself. He just gets really hot, and they've had that numerous times, but they got a pretty solid team also. They can beat you in other ways.
We're speaking with Mark Lamb, the head coach and general manager of the Prince George Cougars. You're listening to the CatScan podcast. So you are going to be either the number one or number two seed going into the playoffs. If we take a look, it appears your first-round opponent could be Kelowna, could be Spokane, maybe Tri-City if they could catch Spokane. They would come into it. But as we look right now, it's looking like Kelowna or Spokane. Now, I know you would never say, even if you had a preference, what your preference would be, other than, you know, from a financial point of view, it's probably better to play in BC. But do those teams, whether it be a Kelowna or a Spokane, they seem to be a little bit different kind of teams, correct?
Yeah, every team's a little bit different. The one thing you would say about that is, you know, Kelowna a lot better than you know Spokane, and they know us a lot better also because we play them so much.
Yeah. And there's a lot of high scoring. Now, there's Canton from Spokane, who's great, but I think there's a little bit more scoring when you take a look at Kelowna and everything like that. And you're right. And of course, you get an opportunity to go against Spokane. But as coaches right now, you always say you're just looking to the next game. But really, I imagine when you're not talking on radio or everything like that, everything right now is geared towards playoffs?
Yeah, that's how we talk. That's how we act. As soon as we got that X, you know, from playoffs, now we can start talking about it and start thinking about it. Like I said, this year is a little bit different. So in the dressing room for the last, since we clinched, that's how we're acting and that's how we're talking.
Here might be a little bit of a far-fetched one, and you may not have thought about this as well, but if Prince George and Portland ties, you look at tiebreakers, you went to one of the tiebreakers down the road, if it continues to be tied, is, you know, goal differential, and that's really close between the two teams. Is that something that you would think about, even though it might be a fourth or fifth tiebreaker? If you are playing in a particular game down the road, it's 6-1 in the third period, and, well, maybe I better get that first power play unit on because we need goal differential. Or would that not even cross your mind at any point?
Yeah, that would for sure.
Yeah. So it does play a role.
Well, yeah, like when it gets down to, if it got right down to that, and you know, we would, you know, and that's, you know, when it gets down to, you know, fighting for a playoffs or anything like that, there's, you know, some teams might pull their goalie in overtime.
Right. Yeah.
Right. You know, to get that point. So this is the same idea. It's a stat thing, and you know, I think we're like 99 and 100 right now with you know, goal differential with Portland. We're very similar in a lot of areas. So yeah, it would be something we'd think about for sure.
Well, I mean, you take a look at the teams. Both lots of firepower, both with strong goaltending, both with excellent defense. I mean, there is a reason why I think everybody thinks it's going to come down to Portland and PG. Everett is the wild card. That's a tough rink to win in. You got to have outstanding goaltending to win there. But they just play so well at home, and their structure is so good. But I think that even you would have to admit, as much as you respect the other teams and say how capable they are, there is a drop after the top three.
Well, those teams are excellent, and you know, when you throw Everett in there, they just come at you and they play a real good game. But when you look at it, when playoffs comes around, the competitive part of it, you know, especially the teams that are, when you're fighting to get in there, you might be playing some really good hockey, and you can go, you know, every team can go on a stretch, no matter how good you are, like in the standings. You can go on a little, you know, winning streak. And if, you know, you go on all you have to do in playoffs is go on a 4-game winning streak, right? It's very hard to do it. But, you know, I've seen a lot of teams do that, sneak in there, and they're feeling good about themselves with nothing to lose. And, you know, they're hard teams to play against.
Going to go in a little bit of a different direction. I think Cole asked you, and one of the post-game shows, and that is for shootouts. And those extra points are so important, especially when you look that Portland or Prince George Western Conference Championship could be decided for regular season, who has the most shootout wins and all of that. And the Cougars have not been great in shootouts. They've been okay. But there have been some shootouts this season when you have used, let's just say, lesser skilled players. Now, when you beat Kelowna in a shootout, you went with more skilled offensive players. I'm wondering what the thought process is when picking shooters for the shootout. And I know there's an odd stat there that Riley Height has never scored in a shootout, but I'm thinking, okay, if he hasn't scored in a shootout, the chances are he probably will at some point. What is the thought process as a coaching unit, or when you're discussing all this? How do you make your decisions? What sort of goes into it?
Well, a lot goes into it. We do it in practice, a lot, you know, and sometimes, and I know the player you're going to talk about, Dohaniak, and you're going to talk about Lang.
Yeah.
That's what people, but, you know, Dohaniak was, you know, at that point, he had won about 3 of our shootouts in practice consistently. And that's over a few years too, not just once, you know. And then we were struggling in the shootout. So, you know, you do that. Whoever's going to win the shootout, well, you're going to go in the shootout. You might as well try them if they're doing it. And that's when you're struggling. When we lost Zimmer, like when you have Zimmer, he was always first to go. Then you have Becker. But that's what you did. A couple of them were a one off, and that was Lang and Dohaniak, and that's for those reasons.
Right. And I guess there is no science behind it, but I did notice in the Kelowna game, and Becker got you going, and I know DeZane had a shot there, maybe Funk, but you went more with your, you know, scores, I guess that's what it is. And I guess one could say, well, it is one thing to win in practice, but it's a different thing, I guess, in a game. But I guess you're always trying to find things and learn things going forward.
Yeah, it's if you have your set guys, and of course you can give them, but some guys have really struggle on them. Some skilled guys really struggle on breakaways.
Yeah.
And you don't know what it is. Wayne Gretzky wasn't very good on them.
No. But I still think that everybody was still stunned that he was on the bench when the gold medal was on the line. even though he's not great at it.
Yeah, I know, but that's because they lost.
Yeah, well, that's true too.
Yeah,
The good thing is, and I'm not one for shoot, but I'm so old and I've been around just watching for so long. I'm not one for the shootout, for the gimmicks. I don't know if you are, but thank goodness the playoffs. We don't have to worry about all that. It's just, and I know international tournaments, they come to an end sometimes like that. First, are you a fan of it, or have
no.
you? Because I'm not either. I still don't understand what's wrong with a tie or playing 5 or 10. I know you can't play forever and then have 3 games in 3 days. I understand about the time crunch. I understand that fans want a winner. I get all that, but the shootout gimmick, I think it's more maybe for the younger hockey generation. Could we maybe say that?
Yeah, well, I just think it's lost its luster. Like, I think at the start it was kind of cool, but I don't think it's exciting anymore.
Yeah.
Like, they come down, all the players see what they're doing. They all go in slow. It's all, what they see on TV. They try a bunch of things. The goaltenders are getting better at it. When it first started, it was kind of exciting for me, but overtime's exciting.
Oh,
real
yeah.
exciting.
And you know what? And a penalty shot is exciting.
And a penalty shot is exciting, but I agree. But I think at the start it was kind of exciting because the fans hadn't seen it. Nothing better than a breakaway or a penalty shot.
Right.
So they're going, okay, now we got a bunch of penalty shots. Now they go, the Zamboni comes out and they take a while. And, now let's get ready here. Yeah, it just, I just think a winner should be the winner, and you're out there and you're working hard and you're hitting for 60 minutes or you're in overtime and then all of a sudden, a guy that has you could have just one real good shootout guy that never played a shift that can, one of those fancy guys on Twitter, get them on your team and go out there and pull some fancy stuff. It's not real.
Well, and I know, and no teams are doing this anymore, but there have been some teams that have brought in their goaltender from the bench because, he's a better shootout goaltender. I mean, that never made much sense to me. Sit there for 65 minutes, go out there and play. It's not happening recently, but teams have tried that. Then they said, I guess this really doesn't work.
Yeah, and you try things when things aren't working. You got to change so you just don't do the same thing over and over. I've seen teams do it. But if you have, and if you can get on a roll in a shootout too, if you have two guys that are really good at it, and that's, when we had Zimmer and then you go to a Becker or whatever, those two guys, and then you kind of pick and choose from there. Usually it was over by then.
I've always thought this season Becker has been your best two-way player. Would you agree, or do you think that it's a lot closer with a lot of other guys as well?
Well, I think it's really close. I think we got a lot of good two-way players, but I'd agree. I think he's one of the best two-way players in the league.
And I would also say he's your most improved player, although I like Demansky, and there's other guys that have improved, but I still think he's your most improved player.
Yeah, he's certainly one of them. He's an unassuming player. You look at what he did last year, too. I thought he was always quiet and didn't get enough recognition. But he after Christmas last year, you could see all the signs that he was going to turn into this.
Who this year, in your opinion, is not getting enough recognition on the PG Cougars and why?
Enough recognition. That'd be Demansky. There's some guys when you have a team like this, it's the guys, because there's so many guys putting up big numbers. So you see all that. But you look at a guy like Demansky, he's improved so much right in front of everybody's eyes and he never gets talked about.
When a team scores first, it gives them a pretty good chance to win the game. You might win if things go well, like 2/3 of your games. But when the PG Cougars score first, it's almost automatic that you win the game. Heading into the Spokane, you've only lost twice. You're something like 26-2 when scoring first. Like, though, that's just beyond comprehension that it could be such a major factor. And yet when you give up the first goal, you're still winning the majority of your games. But, you know, it's more closer to the 500 range. But there are just some stats that are just so eye-popping that you think, how can they keep that up?
Yeah, there's a lot like that, and you just, like I say, you just go about business the same way. You know, there's times that it will happen and go against, and but you just got to keep thinking the same way, doing the same things, and you know that's what we do.
Road trips home, I guess. Once you hit the bus after the games, you can tell the mood, everything like that. And I noticed, I asked Cole about this. Not the last game you played in Kamloops where you won 5-1, but you lost the previous time 2-1 a shootout. However, you badly outshot them. Sanch won in the game. And I said to Cole, I'm guessing the mood on the bus was still good because you played well. Has that been how let's put it this way. How many times on the road this season have you gone on the bus and it's been a pretty sour mood?
Well, we don't like to lose, so we don't like leaving points on the board, and the guys know that. They're a competitive group, and there's a big difference between winning and losing on how we, you know, how we act.
Yeah. So, and I've asked you this on the post-game show, but now that you've had some time to digest, what is the one area this team needs to improve the most to be effective in the playoffs?
Well, I think we got to maximize every area. The playoffs are, they're totally different. You know, everything gets, it's a big microscope. You got to do a lot of things good to win, and a lot of good things got to happen. But it all starts with your goaltender and playing away from the puck.
30 years the team has been in PG regular season. There's never been a team with this high a winning percentage. No PG Cougar team has gone beyond round three. There's been three teams that have reached the Western Conference Final. No team has been in the WHL Championship Series against the winner of the East. Is that something that, and I know you're one day at a time, you're one playoff at a time, but you have to have goals in terms of where you want to be in the end. Being the best PG Cougars team ever, I imagine, has to be a goal when you're this good.
Oh, that's been our goal through this whole process, is, you know, to finally be good enough to take a run at it. So that's where we're at right now. We're a good hockey team. We got a lot of good players. We got good pieces. So that's what we're working towards. And now it's right in front of us.
As a head coach, and you've been, you know, with Swift Current, you've been in Arizona. Where, in terms of, is this the best team you've been a head coach of?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is the best team that I've been in. You know, in last year was probably the second best team.
Right.
You know, and it's, and like I said, it's, you know, this just doesn't happen overnight either. You gotta work at it, and the process is the word. But now we're at a spot where, you know, we've been thinking about, you're hoping to be in this spot when you start putting it all together. And now we're here. Like, now how do we handle it and how do we move forward? And, you know, sitting in my chair and being around the team for as long as I have now and growing up with these guys, I feel pretty good about it.
And if we take a look and we say that the powers are Prince George, Portland, Saskatoon, I think we have to include Moose Jaw in there after the trades. But those other three teams, they're losing significant amount of players. In other words, I would suggest that everybody would think on the outside, Prince George should be considerably ahead of those three teams next season.
Yeah, that's the, you know, it depends on, you know, guys coming back, and, you know, there's every summer is a different summer, and, you know, you got to go through it again. But, you know, you know, I just look at ourselves. I don't worry about what other teams are doing too much. And, you know, I like where we're at. I like where our future is. And we're sitting in a pretty good spot right now.
Yeah, so I would say that Everett, you know, they're sort of a contender, I think, this year as well. They would have a good crop coming back. I think a lot of us were surprised that the Silvertips are as good as they are, considering that they're not all in for this year in terms of having so many 19-year-olds like Portland does or everything like that. What do you think is, and I know you guys have had some difficulty playing in their rink. Is it something about Everett? Is it something about, I mean, this team every year is always in the playoffs. Is it just system with the Silvertips?
No, there's a lot of factors, and when we went in there with our lineup and stuff too, we've never went in there with a real full lineup. But they're good. They're real good. They get on top of you. You know, they play the same way. They play fast. They're different than Portland, but they do a real good job there. Dennis is a great coach. Organization's a winning organization, and they're a factor. They did the right thing. You know, they had some real high-end players, and they got some really good return on it. But they, you know, they did the right thing at the right time. That so they don't have to be at the bottom. They you know, restocked really quick, and they're right at the top.
Killer instinct is something coaches thrive to their players, and I mentioned time and time on the broadcast, when you're up 5-1, it's not to sit back and win that game 5-1 or 5-2. It's to make it 6-1. If it's 6-1, it's to make it 7-1. Is that something that you guys as coaches have told the players, don't worry about the scoreboard? Maybe you have to worry about it if it's, you know, an empty net situation. But don't worry about the scoreboard. Just get the next goal. And if it means it's going to run up the score, so be it. That mentality that you have to have, is that driven into the players?
It's driven into them not to let them score. Like, we weren't very happy when that first goal went in when we were up, 8-0 the other night. You know, that it's not putting the ninth one in. It's keeping that other one out of our net.
Right. So in that game with Seattle, you're up 8-0. Now, was it because... you know, for a couple of reasons, but I imagine that would have been the record for Ravensburger, and getting him the shutout, was that part of the thinking?
Well, no, that wasn't part. It is part of the thinking of you know, helping your teammate to, you know, get out of that game with a shutout. Like I say, if we're winning 8-1, we don't want it to be 8-2.
Right.
You know, we'll take the ninth, but we don't want to get scored against. That's how we look at it.
As we wrap things up for the home stretch, and I'm not going to have you on again until the start of the playoffs in terms of a podcast. I mean, obviously we're speaking with you throughout the Cougar games, but those situations are more focused on that particular game. So the next time we'll have you on will be as you get ready for the playoffs. What do you want to see from this, other than the wins? We all understand that. What do you want to see from this team really now at the stretch, gearing up for the most important time of the year?
We want to keep doing the same thing that we're doing and maximize, you know, some of the areas. We got some, you know, especially the next couple of weeks here, we got some time to mentally and physically, and we talk about it. You have to be feeling good too. You know, and that's the luck part of it with injuries and sickness and all that. But you've got to give yourself the best opportunity not to have any of that happen. And that's taking care of yourself, especially when we have this home stretch here. You can do a lot at home, get your rest, get good food, get some good workouts in, plus get on the ice. So, you know, that's what we really want to work on the next couple of weeks here, as maximize ourselves in every area to play the best game that we can.
Up until last season, you guys, since you've taken over, have sort of been in an underdog role. Well, you were a favorite last year in the first round, a little bit of a favorite. You were certainly an underdog against the Seattle last year in the playoffs. But this year, you are going to go in as favorites. As a matter of fact, every game you play now, I guess if you were to play Portland, which we wouldn't see now again to the Western Final if that happens, every game you go in now, you are favored. You are expected to win. And with that comes the pressure. But I imagine you welcome that pressure as opposed to being the underdog where you may not have the pressure, but the expectation's not the same.
Yeah, we deserve to be that. You know, that's the number one seed. We expect to win. We've put a lot of work in to be in this spot. So we deserve that. We can hold our heads high and be proud of where we're at because we deserve it. And it's been a long road. So being the favorite is something we've worked hard for, and we should be proud of it.
We're going to leave it with that. Really appreciate your time again, and all the best for the stretch run and the playoffs. Take care.
All right. Thanks, Arlie.
Mark Lamb is the head coach and general manager of the Prince George Cougars, and you have been listening to CatScan. Have a great one.